The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 15.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 15, Episode 4. First and foremost, a huge thank you to everyone who's reached out so far this season with new experiences for future episodes. Now, I would just like to reiterate, if you are going to send in an experience that you would like to be heard on The Dark Paranormal, the only requirement that we have is that your submission is around 3,500 words or approximately 6 single sides of an A4 Word document. From experience, that generally takes us over the 30-minute mark, which is ideal for the format. However, and it's important that I reiterate this, we will receive a paranormal experience of any length. Because if your experience doesn't quite add up to a full Dark Paranormal episode, it may well be used on a minisode, or indeed on our Dark Bites episode for Patreons. Basically, irrelevant of length, we're trying to develop the biggest encyclopedia of different experiences out there within the world of paranormal podcasting. And believe me, although I've been into the paranormal since a youth, there are things that are coming through that I've never heard the likes of. Even better, and for me the part that literally sends a chill down my spine, is especially on Dark Bites or the shorter episodes where I receive shorter stories or experiences. There will be people from different sides of the world sending me almost identical experiences regarding something I'd previously never heard of. And some of these are so alike, yet so disparate in terms of where they've come from, it's beyond coincidence. I was already a believer in the paranormal before I began this podcast. It's why I started the podcast. The one thing I did not expect was that by doing the podcast, it would further heighten my belief in the paranormal. Today's experience looks at something which we've covered many times before, that of the attachment. But what seems to be different with this experience is it's more of a follower than an attachment. And I know you may think, well, what's the difference? And I agree. But only by reading through this person's experience did I get that feeling. Hence the title of this episode. And I wonder if you get the same feeling too. It doesn't seem like your typical attachment. So do please let me know via our email address, contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And that's the same address for your submissions also. Now, before we get to today's experience, and believe me, it contains one of the most vivid descriptions of something which I just can't get out of my mind. But before we reach there, I need to say a huge thank you to each and every one of our Patreons. When you sign up to our Patreon, not only will you receive every episode that we release on the main feed, both ad-free and before everyone else, including your season debuts, your season finales, but you can also gain access to the Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Dark Bites is a podcast that's produced every single week of the year, even on the downtime between seasons, meaning you never miss your paranormal fix. Each episode is at least 30 minutes in length and contains a multitude of experiences that simply didn't make the main show down to the length. And if you're the sort that likes to binge listen, there are well over 50 hours worth of Dark Bites episodes in the back catalogue for you to go and enjoy. But genuinely, the best thing about our Patreon team is its community. I've been in paranormal groups on social media sites before, and there's always a little bit of backbiting going on, etc. Genuinely and sincerely, our group over on Patreon are one of the, if not the, most supportive paranormal group I've ever experienced, and we'd like to extend an exclusive invitation just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal, just like the following wonderful new team members have. Jessica McDonald, Ansley Waters, Jose Mayer, Maria Plover, Clint 39, Sally, Rob Wand, Mikey Whitey, Natalie Martin Bailey, Salissa Hatch, Sage Renee, Page Master, Ash Goodwin, Ashley Robbins, Eb Nicolette, Marley, Kiara Rivera, Mim Allen, Elva Tavira, Palsy, Nicole Kalari, Tracy Interhar, John Stallion, Jamie Smith, Sarah Durgan, Cole Bradfield, Brantley Drapp, Pamela, Rachel Mayer, Sarah Jameson, and Kissa Hargett. Thank you so much for the support, guys. It genuinely means the world. And if you like the sound of early ad-free releases, as well as a back catalogue of over 50 hours of unheard experiences, simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, it's time to lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door, as we hear all about the Dark Follower. I hope this experience, at the very least, reaches your eyes. I'll say now I'm not the best with proper grammar, but I've tried my best to retell my experience. But hopefully, my experience reaches you. First off, I'd like to say how much I like the podcast. I've been listening for around 3 years now, and I think it's about time I shared my experience. My whole life, I've always had an open mind to the paranormal. I've always been interested in hearing about ghosts, spirits, entities, otherworldly encounters, and many other paranormal phenomena. If there's one thing this podcast has confirmed for me, is that everything I experienced and considered paranormal was indeed paranormal. Some of my experiences have shook me to my very core. Now, I won't give out my name, nor any of the names of my friends involved, just for the sake of privacy. But I will say that I am one of many residents that live and work at Yosemite National Park. I chose to live and work at Yosemite because of the cheap rent, and because it was close to home. Life in Yosemite is beautiful. During my time here, I've experienced many things such as the beauty of nature, meeting the most kind and genuine people I've ever met, and just an amazing sense of community around the park. But one thing I didn't expect to experience was the horror that I plan to share with you. For my first 2 years in the park, I worked as a housekeeper at one of the hotels. It was, and still currently is, a good job, specifically because I don't constantly have a supervisor breathing down my neck, looking at everything I do, inspecting all of my work, like you get with most common jobs. No, I get to spend most of my time alone in the rooms, listening to music or podcasts. It's the introvert's dream job, in a silly way. I do what most housekeepers are required to do at a hotel. I go into a newly departed room, clean and disinfect the room, then move on to the next one. It's definitely one of the easiest jobs I've ever had, especially compared to the factory jobs at home. I can definitely say that you don't work at a hotel as long as I have without, well, experiencing a thing or two. Especially at a hotel as old as the one I work at. My job location is on a very large property. There are multiple buildings for park guests to enjoy their stay. And if you work here long enough, you have the opportunity to claim one of the buildings as your very own to clean and maintain, instead of moving from building to building all day. Having your own section makes the job a lot easier in many ways. I've had my own section for a few years, and it led me to know the ins and outs of the building itself. I'm, for example, able to tell my manager which rooms have electrical problems, such as knowing which phone lines work, which ones don't, which rooms have flickering lights, which rooms have the occasional wasp nest outside due to the season. And I'm definitely able to tell when there's something off about a room. I've had days where I clean multiple rooms, and I'm in what I call autopilot mode. I just move without thinking too much. My body and muscle memory is just used to that regular workload. My first paranormal experience in the park, of course, happens in one of the apartments at work. One day, in my first few apartments, I'm in my usual autopilot mode. Well, I breezed through the first few rooms, just like any other day. I enter my third or fourth apartment, and suddenly, I'm snapped back into reality. Keep in mind, I am able to go into multiple rooms, just doing my thing, and I keep moving without anything distracting me. But to be suddenly snapped out of autopilot mode and being fully aware of my surroundings, I immediately sensed something was wrong. The best way to describe it was that I was being watched. This was a new sensation, a sensation I'd never felt before. Of course, I felt the occasional stranger just staring at me every now and then when I work. But this feeling was different. Maybe call it instinct, but I just felt like there were eyes on me. But not just any eyes. I knew there were ill intention in these eyes, even though I couldn't see them. It was just an ominous feeling. Even though every fibre of my being was telling me that there was something obviously wrong, I shrugged it off, telling myself it was probably just my imagination. The whole time in that room, I just felt uneasy. I just couldn't shake the feeling someone was staring daggers into me. Some time passed, and the phone in the room starts ringing. Now, usually when the phone rings, it's just housekeeping calling to ask where I currently am, or to see how many rooms I still have left to do. As I was walking towards the phone to answer, it didn't stop ringing. As in, not ring, pause, ring. Just one continuous ring. Now, I've cleaned this room plenty of times up to now, and never has that phone rang like that. I picked it up and it was just the dial tone. Thinking how weird it was, I just hung up. Moments later, it does it again. That same eerie continuous ringing. Again, I answer the phone, and once again, nothing. Just a dial tone once more. At this point, my heart starts racing. I've no idea what the hell is going on. So I decide to call dispatch, and I let them know the phone in this room is just ringing continuously. Dispatch agree that's never happened before, and they say to just unplug the receiver from the phone, and let maintenance deal with the rest. That was only the beginning. Again, some time passes, and since then, I've cleaned that same room multiple times. But each time, I never felt alone. Maybe it was my mind playing tricks on me, and I was just a bit spooked out from the whole thing. But still, every time I returned to that room, I would feel like something's there. But I no longer felt as if I was being intensely stared at. It was more like it was in the same room with me, just waiting. It got to the point where I got somewhat used to the feeling, and I managed to get through my daily workload. One evening, I was invited by some friends to their housing unit for dinner. For the sake of their privacy, we'll call them Jerry and Amanda. Around where they live, there are many other housing units, lined up in rows for other park employees. So it's a nice housing community overall. We all share a communal bathroom, which has multiple showers and toilet stalls, and we've all grown accustomed to them. Anyways, Jerry and Amanda were some of the kindest people I'd ever met. They fed me, gave me a place to stay when needed, and more importantly, saw me for who I really am. I struggled at making friends throughout life, mainly due to my family moving a lot whilst I grew up. So I've been to a lot of schools and never really planted roots. I made some friends along the way, but as always, there was a point we said goodbye and we moved again. This has led me to be very selective with who I will call a friend in my life, and also led me to be a very introverted person. Now, at first glance, I don't look like the kind of person anyone would want to interact with anyway. I'm a 6'2" tall guy who wears the type of band t-shirt that no one can read. I'm very quiet, and I have what people call resting bitch face, which I found hilarious in a sense. It led me to believe no one wanted to talk to me or be involved with me, and to some extent, I was okay with that. But Jerry and Amanda were different. I'd never encountered such kindness and hospitality like they would provide. Fast forward back to our dinner night. Jerry goes to use the bathroom, leaving both I and his girlfriend Amanda in the room. Amanda and I are talking, waiting for Jerry to come back, and suddenly, he storms into the room in a panic. "What's wrong, Jerry?" Amanda says in a fright. Jerry stood there for a few seconds, trying to compose himself. Then finally, he says, "I'm on my way back from the bathroom. I was passing by our window just about to come inside, and out of nowhere, someone whispered into my ear, 'Run.' It scared the absolute crap out of me," Jerry says in hysterics. Amanda and I sat there, listening to the panicked Jerry. Neither of us have ever seen him like this. Amanda had mentioned that while he was in the bathroom, their cat, Voodoo, was acting really strange. Jerry and Amanda's cat was a stray they'd picked up on the way back from a road trip. It was literally a match made in heaven when they picked up that cat from a litter of kittens. I would go as far as to say the cat chose them. He was such a sweet little guy, very social, always looking for pets and very adventurous. A bit like his mum and dad, I suppose. So it would be a bit surprising, somewhat rare, to see Voodoo displaying weird behaviour. "Jerry, Voodoo was staring at our window the whole time you were gone. He didn't move the whole time you were gone. He just kept staring until you came back." She mentioned this because it was very unusual for Voodoo to just sit still, staring out the window. Usually, he would accompany one of my friends or be looking to be pet, or at this hour, sleeping peacefully under their bed. She mentioned she had a feeling something must be wrong. And that feeling came to fruition when Jerry stormed in. Well, I was speechless. I often forget that we technically live in / near the woods. The park during the day is beautiful, bright, sunny. But at night, in a certain perspective, it can be seen as both beautiful and terrifying. After we all calmed down, we eventually just went on with the rest of our dinner, talking like nothing happened. But that event kind of stuck with me. In brief moments, I would pause and just think how terrifying that must have been for Jerry. So our night ends and I get ready to leave. I tell them both to have a good remainder of their evening and that I'll see them tomorrow for work. And I begin my walk home. Only a short walk, but one I'll never forget. Let's have a quick break to talk to you about Policy Genius. Now, we all like to put off life insurance talk because it reminds us of our mortality. But life insurance isn't about death, it's about life. It's about ensuring the lives of those you love remain secure and comfortable. And I'm sure many of you will think, well, I'm covered through work or I'm covered through my bank account. But believe me, you want to check those finer details because you may be surprised what you're actually covered for. And this is exactly where Policy Genius come into their own. Yes, we could talk about how Policy Genius is America's leading online insurance marketplace or how their award-winning agents will walk you step by step through the entire process. But the best thing about Policy Genius for me is they don't have a dog in the fight. They're not going to strong-arm you towards one company or another. They've no incentive to do so. Their only incentive is to listen to your needs, scour America's top companies, and find you the best price. For example, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that begin at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options even offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. There's a reason why Policy Genius has thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot, and you'll find out what it is when you tick life insurance off your to-do list with Policy Genius. So head over to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quote and see how much you can save. That's policygenius.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
I live about 5 minutes away from their housing unit, so it's not too long of a walk. I literally walk down the street that leads to the local village store, and right across the street is the parking lot that leads to the dormitory, where I live. I eventually make it to the parking lot, and I have to say that that's always been sort of an eerie spot to walk at night. The path is lit by a few street lamps, leading the way to my housing. But as I walked, I couldn't help but think about Jerry's story again. And as I begin to think about his story, that sensation returns. I'm being watched. It was an eerie, piercing stare. Whatever it was hostile. And I say this because as soon as I stop to try and look behind me, whatever was staring at me started sprinting at me. its feet stomping on the gravel on the ground at full speed. I felt like I was going to be assaulted right there and then. I froze in pure terror. Usually with me, a fight or flight response kicks in, and it's usually fight. But this time, I just couldn't move. I was frozen out of pure fear. And just as suddenly, the sensation disappeared. Nothing ran into me. There was no assault, no impact, just silence. Me stood there, heart beating rapidly, hyperventilating, trying to catch my breath. What the hell was that? Was the only thing I could mutter after catching my breath. I took a look behind me to try and see what the hell just happened, but there was nothing. I thought to myself, maybe it was an animal running past to get to the bush. But I didn't see or hear anything go into those bushes. There was just no logical explanation. I'd never felt fear like that. I'd heard stories from people that they can freeze in fear, but I didn't know it was a literal sense of not being able to move. It was the kind of fear that felt like it could leave a white streak of hair from the stress and the trauma of the moment. After taking some time to collect myself, I finally muster up the courage to make my way back to my dorm. To this day, I still can't believe what happened that night. It all happened so fast, yet it felt like it lasted forever. Some time passed since that day, and work was steady with no problems. I haven't had too many paranormal experiences from that usual room in a while. It seemed strange for the activity to stop in that room altogether. But I wasn't complaining. But as for my personal mental health, that was steadily declining. Usually, I have a pretty firm grasp on my emotions and don't let them run wild or anything like that. I'm usually a very quiet person. It's not like I'm depressed at all times. At work, I always felt perfectly fine. Nothing was bothering me, emotions were in check, and I wasn't stressing about anything in my personal life. It was only when I'd get home, I would feel horrible. I could have a perfectly fine day at work, and as soon as I'd get home, I would sit in my chair and feel as if there were a crushing weight on my shoulders. I would feel so sad and so worthless. I would sit there thinking, what the hell am I depressed about? Why do I feel like this when there's no reason? Why am I even alive? I stopped going outside after work. I would be far too exhausted or mentally drained to do anything. This just wasn't my usual self, and I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I had to find out. Maybe it was tied to the recent paranormal happenings. Maybe I was just tired from my day-to-day routine. I just didn't know. I decided to share my stories with a few of my friends. A few of them believed me 100%, and a few others were a bit skeptical of the whole situation, which I completely understand. How could a ghost or a being be negatively affecting me like this? How could something that arguably doesn't exist push me this far? Well, after sharing my stories and talking about it for a bit, I came to the conclusion that whatever I first encountered had followed me. It followed me from the room, it followed me to my friend's housing unit, which also led me to believe that whatever Jerry encountered that night may have been the being that was following me. Then it followed me to the parking lot near my dormitory, then finally to my room. Bear in mind, this was all in 2020, when COVID-19 had hit, so I couldn't have a roommate due to COVID restrictions. Everyone pretty much had their own housing unit at that time, so no one else was in the room experiencing all these things I was going through. To try and distract myself from the constant negative emotions that I had when I was at home, I decided to have a friend over to play some video games and just hang out. All was going well, and I was enjoying myself. My friend and I were playing Mario Kart on the Switch, so I was plenty distracted with the competitiveness between us. Zero thought of anything paranormal. My friend Andrew and I were laughing and talking about our recent games, debating on how I should have won a few of those games, and he was bragging on how superior he was at the game. Well, of course he... Suddenly, my PS4 controller, that was on the middle of my desk, was thrown off my desk. It was like someone just grabbed it and tossed it over the ledge of the desk. We both froze. Andrew looked at me, laughing out of fear, saying, "Did you friggin' see that?" I replied, "Dude, I told you there's something in my room." We both sit there, and we started laughing hysterically, mainly with nervous energy, because I felt that's all we could do in a situation like that. Instead of choosing fear, we tried our best to laugh it off. Later, I mentioned to him, "This isn't the first time something's been knocked over in here. The first time was when I was doing a deep clean in my room, and I was picking things up off my dresser, and my lighter just flew off the edge. I just looked at it and said, 'Okay, I don't have the time to be scared by that. I'm busy cleaning.'" I laughed. Andrew didn't think too much about the controller being thrown after that, and I'm sure he forgot about it moments later. But I certainly didn't. I was thinking, great, now there's something else to worry about. After more time passed, the heavy weight of depression just didn't leave. And I wasn't motivated enough to do really anything about it either. I just sat there enduring it. Until, finally, I went through what had to be the most terrifying experience in that room. Now, at this point in time, I'm mentally and emotionally exhausted. And it was all because of my damn room. I made a habit of forcing myself to go on walks, because as soon as I left my room for a breath of fresh air, I felt like a weight had lifted. And every time I went home, I would hope that feeling of relief would stay. But unfortunately, it never did. Again, I'd feel depressed and heavy. I decided to take a warm shower to help myself calm down, and I tried to go to sleep shortly after. Usually when I sleep, I wake up to toss and turn, trying to get in a new comfortable position to fall back asleep. That was just a regular thing. From what I can recall from that night, I'd woken up sometime around 3 a.m. I woke up to do my usual toss and turn when, suddenly, I opened my eyes and I saw it. At the head of my bed, coming out of my wall, was a face, only inches away from my face. The best way to describe it was that the head was completely round, glowing white, and only its head was coming through my wall, as if the rest of its body was behind the wall. I say it glowed white because as I opened my eyes, I could see the surroundings in what should be a pitch black room. The glowing head was illuminating the area. I could see my dresser, my posters on my wall, and this thing, its eyes as wide as can be, It looked like it didn't have eyelids. It smiled from ear to ear with a sadistic smile, as if it were enjoying my fear. It then brought its hands over its face, looking through its fingers. It was the most sadistic being I'd ever seen. Even though I saw that face for a split second before I immediately hid under my blanket out of pure terror, I still remember every detail of that damned face. I hid under my blanket completely terrified, paralyzed with fear, a fear I'd never felt in my life. I was hyperventilating, and I kept on thinking that that thing was still out there, looking at me, or thinking how long had it been looking at me before it shown itself. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't think straight. I couldn't think rationally. I hid under my blanket for realistically about 2 or 3 minutes, but those minutes felt like an eternity. I finally caught my breath enough to think for myself. I don't want to, I thought, but I have to reach for my phone and turn on the flashlight. My light switch was on the other end of the room, so my nearest light source was my phone. I kept debating if I should reach for my phone or remain under my blankets for the rest of the night. But it was getting unbearably hot in those blankets, and in my state of panic, I could barely breathe. So I finally counted to 3, flung off my blankets and grabbed my phone, and I turned the flashlight on and... nothing. Just as I'd hoped for, really. Just as I'd begged for. That thing was gone. Thinking, well, I'm not going to be able to fall back asleep, I put on one of my comfort shows on my phone to help keep my mind off that horrible experience. To my great surprise, I was able to fall back asleep. The next day, I'd had enough. I chose to not share what happened that night with anyone the following day. But one of my friends suggested that I get my room cleansed. He recommended sage. He told me to not buy sage off anyone because that can bring misfortune. Sage should be gifted or given for free. So I asked another friend of mine, and thankfully he gave me some sage and some rosemary. He also told me to leave an opening, such as an open door or window, so the impurities in the room have an exit. I chose to leave my door open. He told me to start from the opposite end of the opening and sage every corner of the room, leading to the exit. And I did just that. I come from a Christian family, and even though I don't embrace my religion or even make it known that I am or was religious, I still had my beliefs, and I said prayers. You're not welcome here. Whoever or whatever you are, you're not welcome here. I banish you from this room in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave and never return. I repeated this over and over to get my point across, to make absolutely sure that whatever was in my room would leave. I feel like I did all I could with the cleansing. I cleansed my room until I felt content. Then I put out my sage and my rosemary. Then from there, it was simply a waiting game. Fast forward to present day, and I'm happy to say that since the cleansing, I haven't had any paranormal experiences. A literal weight was lifted from my shoulders. Currently, I still work at the same hotel, living a somewhat healthy life. And overall, I feel content with where I am in life right now. Of course, I still go through my own ordeals like any other human. But at least I'm not being terrorized by whatever used to be around me. I guess overall, what the experience has taught me was that spirits or entities do, in fact, have the ability to follow you or attach themselves to you. Also, listening to your podcast helped me confirm that what I went through was real. Hearing other listeners' past experiences has let me know I'm not alone in all this. Other people have indeed experienced having an attachment, if we even want to call what happened to me an attachment. Other people have indeed heard footsteps. They too have felt hostility from something we can't see. They've felt mood shifts out of nowhere. And others have definitely felt completely alone dealing with these ordeals. Lastly, I want to say thank you for making your podcast a safe place for people like me to share our experiences. Even though retelling my experience has brought up past trauma, I'm still glad I was able to share this with an audience of like-minded individuals. Best wishes, Anonymous. Wow. Thank you so much, Anonymous, for such an amazing experience for episode 4 of season 15. And if anyone wants to have a guess at which part has been replaying over in my mind, well, of course, it's the face hiding behind its hands looking through its fingers. It's an image I've had in my head since reading the experience. It's an image which is in my head right now, and an image I don't care for, thank you very much. But on a sincere note, thank you so much for providing such an excellent experience. For our Patreons, I'll speak to you again on Sunday for another installment of Dark Bites. And for everyone, I'll speak to you through the week for our next minisode. Until then, stay safe, take care, and remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.